The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us, but how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is the true measure of IT value, and our guest for today's show is Douglas Hubbard. Doug is the inventor of applied information economics, that is also known as AIE. His methodology has earned him critical praise from the Gartner Group, Giga Information Group, and Forrester Research. Doug is an internationally recognized expert in the field of IT value and is a popular speaker at numerous conferences. His published articles are in Information Week, CIO Enterprise, and the DBMS magazine. He was formerly with Coopers & Lybrand and has over 18 years' experience in IT management, including 10 years' experience specifically teaching organizations to use his AIE method. His other professional experience includes managing large IT and software projects in insurance, manufacturing, nuclear power, banking, and pharmaceuticals. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Sajak. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Now, how is life treating you? I am sure you must be very, very busy.
I am pretty busy. I've definitely seen more business coming out of the federal side. I've grown in both the commercial areas and as well as the federal areas, but the federal government is really putting a lot of emphasis on measuring IT value. So, yes, we're very busy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there has been a lot of dollars spent in the past where there was no accountability in a way, and now everybody's looking at it now that economy took a downturn, and I guess commercially and government sector are both we're kind of waking up.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I suppose my business is slightly counter-cyclical, that our business, if anything, may increase as the belts get tighter. People want to analyze their budgets a little bit more closely.
That's true. So when we talk about IT value in general, you know, people literally start looking from 30,000 feet view, and they don't have mostly a clue about what exactly are we talking about. And then when they say, you know what, I cannot measure it because they are mixing the things which are obviously not quantifiable with things which are, which there with a workaround you can quantify, and then there are certain things which are very directly quantifiable. When they do a mishmash, then of course they'll get all confused. So if you were to kind of inventory the different areas and kind of categorize them in areas where either it is directly quantifiable versus it is can be done with a workaround and with some specific structure, and there are things which cannot be quantified. So please share your thoughts.
I think the short answer to that is everything is quantifiable. Here's some recent examples that I suppose some people would dismiss as intangibles or unquantifiables. We had to measure the economic impact of improved public health from safer drinking water from an EPA information system. We had to measure the monetary value of better fuel forecasting for the battlefield for the Marine Corps. And these are things that I suppose a lot of people might have dismissed as intangibles. But usually that just means they may not be familiar with the variety of economic modeling tools out there to measure things exactly like that. So probably one thing that's worth mentioning is we think of measurement in the very scientific, empirical scientific way, and that is a series of observations that reduce uncertainty about a quantity. So all we do is we make observations and we reduce our uncertainty from our previous state of uncertainty, and that's all we really mean by measurement. So once you start looking at measurement that way, well, then everything's measurable. We can always make observations that reduce our uncertainty about something, regardless of what our current level of uncertainty is.
So when you said that everything is measurable, and the way we could potentially challenge is that what is the accuracy of that measurement that you could achieve, especially when we're talking about uncertainty, when we're talking about things which are like moving targets?
Sure. Well, you know, actually, everything is measurable is actually the title of the first article I ever wrote for CIA magazine. And I described there's only three reasons why anybody ever thought something was immeasurable and why they're all illusions. We think of accuracy itself is a pretty arbitrary term. When we take measurements from an economist or statistician's point of view, what we think is we reduce our uncertainty until further uncertainty reduction is no longer economically justified. Now, when we reach that point, we still have uncertainty. It's just not cost-effective to attempt to reduce it anymore. So whether or not you call that point the point of accuracy or not is sort of arbitrary. We simply ask, will additional observations cost less than the value of the uncertainty reduction we get from them? That's the important thing.
So basically, in simpler terms, you are basically saying that there has to be a break-even point where the cost of getting the level of accuracy in measuring IT value is to be recognized before you would go way too much into it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the big difference here, and I think a lot of IT departments could really adopt methods where they do probabilistic modeling. That's the big difference. Most IT departments, if they're doing any kind of cost-benefit analysis at all, are doing really a traditional accounting kind of business case. You have a series of exact numbers. None of them you know exactly. I mean, you think about things like productivity improvements and revenue enhancements, even the cost of the system or the duration of the implementation. When I ask my clients if they know any of those exactly, the answer is no. They know none of them exactly. And that's why we do probabilistic modeling. So to us, all of those are ranges and probabilities. That represents our uncertainty about those things. And that's a more realistic representation of the value of IT in general. And in fact, it's the only way to measure risk. You have to start thinking about uncertainty like an actuary. And once you start doing that, you have all the tools you need to start measuring the big problem in IT, which is the risk of IT.
Can you safely say that you can measure that what level of uncertainty there is, at least, or you cannot even measure that? Because then it becomes very fuzzy. That you're saying that, okay, we can reduce the amount of uncertainty in a given IT value measurement exercise, but if we cannot even say that this is the, you can say accuracy of the uncertainty that you're measuring. I'm trying to, it's like a tongue twister here.
Sure.
But the whole point I'm trying to make it is that at some point of time, we have to put a stake in the ground. We have to, you know, isolate few things and say this is it, and these are the baseline based on which you're working. But if you have a very fuzzy foundation, then everything else would be fuzzy for everybody there.
Exactly. I mean, here's the approach we take. And these are all methods and tools that are well-developed and mature in other industries. In fact, almost all the methods that we use were born outside of IT and even before IT came along. And that's where we find most of our answers, is we look to actuarial science and econometrics and managerial economics in general and management science, et cetera. But here's what we do when we try to model those things. Number one, we calibrate people. We teach them how to assess their own uncertainty quantitatively. It turns out this is a skill that can be taught. Now, we go out and we ask a bunch of IT professionals their confidence about different forecasts that they make. And let's say they're 80% confident in some forecasts and 90% confident in other forecasts. Well, when you go back historically and look at their track record, it turns out whenever they say they're 90% confident, they're really only right about 60% of the time. And when they say they're 100% confident, they're right about 67% of the time. Statistically, we call this extremely overconfident. But that is something we can offset through training. So we train people, it takes about a half a day, to get them to be very good at assessing odds. Now, if somebody wants to do a Google search on the phrase calibration of probabilities, they'll find about 30 years of research in this field. Decision psychologists started noticing years ago that some professions were better at assessing odds than other professions. Now, why would that be if there wasn't a skill involved? Well, guess which professions do best? Things like bookies, if you call that a profession, I suppose. But yes, bookies actually are quite good at assessing odds. And I suppose more disturbingly, doctors are the worst. But IT professionals rank right up there with Harvard MBAs as being statistically overconfident. You're about as overconfident as Harvard MBAs, which is pretty overconfident, not as bad as doctors, though. But fortunately, that problem can be solved with training. People can be trained to assess odds on things. So if you can build a model based on calibrated estimates, what you have is a model of your current state of knowledge about that investment. So take any IT investment, some big new thing, some three-letter acronym that is the next big thing around the corner. You still have some state of uncertainty about it. Whenever I ask people for their ranges for uncertain quantities like the productivity improvement or the duration of implementation, their range is never plus or minus infinity. They always have some logical bounds on the range. They know it can't exceed or be less than some quantities. And they put those ranges in there. And then we ask the question, what's the value of additional measurement? And what we'll find out is when we actually compute the value of additional measurement, that we end up measuring completely different things. I wrote another article in CIO Magazine called The IT Measurement Inversion. You know, the formula for the value of information is 50 years old. It comes from game theory, and it's widely used in a variety of industries and almost never in IT, paradoxically, ironically. Information technology professionals are generally unaware of the fact that there even are equations for modeling the value of information, and we use them on every project that we're on. So that's probably one good lesson to learn, is once we can start modeling IT investments, just like other risky investments are modeled in other industries, insurance, etc., then we have a wide variety of very powerful tools for assessing these uncertainties. And that's probably the biggest lesson someone can take away from this.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's talk about the fact that most of the IT value measurement is rather reactive versus proactive. Well, of course, we talk about probability and et cetera. But the fact is that the IT leaders are challenged with identifying what is going to be the actual value of an investment. And definitely as business needs change in this fast-paced environment, the variables change and their original estimates or the original evaluation of IT investment would change drastically. And when they come back, the benchmarking still remains the same in front of the management, and they come back and say, you know, whatever IT value that you said you're going to deliver, that is not there. And they could get fired or, of course, you know, their hand gets slapped. So how do you deal with that situation? How could you be more proactive about this? Let's stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages and discuss this topic.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is the true measure of IT value, and our guest for today's show is Douglas Hubbard. Doug is the inventor of applied information economics, that is also known as AIE, and this methodology has earned him critical praise from the Gartner Group, Giga Information Group, and Forrester Research. Before the break, we touched the point where this IT value, the whole conversation of IT value is mostly very reactive. Then people go and do a postmortem and find out what exactly happened. But at the same time, IT leaders are also challenged that when they bring a proposal to the table, they have to already justify the ROI and tell exactly what kind of value will be created. Now, the management takes a benchmark on whatever is provided to them, but as the business needs change, the IT value based or the factors based on which the IT value was initially even estimated, that goes out of the window because of the fact that it's a moving target. And when the time comes for a reevaluation by management about what IT delivered, since there would definitely be a deviation and their benchmark had not changed, so you know, people get penalized. The IT leaders get penalized for that. So how can IT leaders be helped by making this process a little more manageable, a little more predictable?
Well, you know, I think that the solution is already pretty mature and pretty well proven methodologically in other areas of business outside of IT and government. Outside of IT, if you look at insurance companies or exploratory oil drilling or manufacturing processes or even nuclear power, you'll find that what they do when they're forecasting uncertain investments where they have to look out several years and try to figure out what would happen is they build something called a Monte Carlo simulation. This is a probabilistic model. They put ranges on the variables that they don't know for certain, which, as we stated, is just about all of them. And they run a simulation that generates thousands of scenarios, and it gives you the probability of different outcomes. So we know when we start out that nothing is going to be exactly equal to our stated means, the stated averages in each one of these variables. We've already modeled in the fact that there's uncertainty and there's going to be variance. So the big change here for people is probably to look at IT as a risk return analysis, because you know that's how everybody else looks at it. When you look at alternative uses of capital, you're looking at a risk return analysis. In 1990, something called Modern Portfolio Theory won the Nobel Prize in Economics, and it really is the basis for all modern portfolio optimization methods. But in order to use that, you have to be able to state not just the return on an investment, but the variance, the expected variance on that return. And if we can translate the IT investments into that kind of language, we get all these very powerful tools to use. So we don't have to say, here's my forecast, and I expect that forecast to be exactly right 5 years from now. All we have to do is to say, here's my ranges, my 90% confidence intervals, and that 90% of my forecasts have fallen within my 90% confidence interval. That's a relevant measure of how good we are at forecasting. So, for example, meteorologists are actually pretty good. When you look at all the times they said there was a 95% chance of precipitation, they were right 95% of the time. When they say there's an 80% chance of sunshine, they're right 80% of the time. So the trick is not to be right exactly on the dot every time, but to be realistic about how much uncertainty you have. And when you look at your track record, does your track record match what your stated uncertainty was? Are you right 90% of the time when you say you're 90% confident, et cetera?
So, I mean, given that the IT leadership is, of course, not total novices, they have to definitely go through these exercises multiple times. So they must have come back and devised a mechanism where at least they can set expectations that things would change. But as a management, a CEO or a CFO would expect, since they are used to the other Monte Carlo or other kind of methods, they would expect the IT leadership to be adopting the same thing. However, in reality, it seldom happens. And is there a specific reason why it's not done? Because it's the whole framework is not fine-tuned enough for those people to feel confident about using that framework?
Well, I think that framework and methodology is so widely used in so many other industries and government problems that it would be hard to say that it's not mature in that respect. It may be as simple as it's just a cultural issue. You know, when that will evolve over time. When insurance started out, when people first started selling insurance policy, there was no such thing as actuaries. Actuaries evolved out of necessity later on. And maybe we're finally getting to that point with IT. You know, IT is probably the riskiest investment most organizations will make that receives no quantitative risk analysis. Well, we're evolving to a point where we probably can't really put up with that too much longer. We're going to have to do quantitative risk analysis just like organizations already do on other capital investments. And IT just needs to adopt it. So it's just a matter of the industry being a relatively new industry catching up in that respect.
Well, you mentioned about risk-based analysis. Basically, you quantify risk and then correspondingly benefit is kind of measured and seen where what's the net result. On the other hand, there is also one more thing which needs to be looked at is the opportunity cost, and especially when we are talking about an area where you have multiple initiatives in place and not every initiative is approved. So then one of the factors should be that what's the opportunity cost that we are carrying with each initiative individually?
Yes, absolutely. Well, ultimately, your opportunity costs are the fully loaded cost of your capital and labor and other resources you're allocating to it. In fact, opportunity costs are naturally dealt with in the modern portfolio theory method that I already talked about. It simply asks the question, if you've got a set of resources and a number of investments that you could make, what's the optimal combination of those? If you choose the optimal combination, then you're already, by definition, minimizing opportunity costs for these sorts of things. You're allocating resources in the best possible way. But that means you have to optimize a whole investment portfolio.
I think one of a very, very obvious example, and which is actually getting a lot of exposure, is the area of outsourcing, where this question about what is a good balance between their on-site resources or in-house resources versus outsourced resources is a constant challenge that every company which is trying to get into it or is already into it is constantly battling with. But there doesn't seem to be any specific answer that they are able to come up with, or they don't have a ready approach that they could look at to say, okay, this is a good break-even, or you can say a good balanced approach.
Yeah, I would say that coming up with one ratio is sort of like saying every company should have a 200,000 square foot office building.
No, it's not that.
Right. I think it's sort of like saying that I think there's obviously different answers for different companies, but if we can start to quantify the risk of outsourcing as well as the benefits of outsourcing and insourcing, including all those things we typically leave off the table because someone doesn't know how to measure it, what we should do is figure out how to measure those things and include them in our analysis. Otherwise, we're going to continue to make the wrong decisions on each of these questions. And these are big, important dilemmas for most organizations, the outsourcing dilemma. If I look at an insurance company, for example, I use them a lot as examples because everyone knows what actuaries do. If I look at insurance companies, they're probably not using the same sophisticated analysis method on the outsourcing question as they do when they analyze new insurance products coming up. And the fact is, there's no reason they shouldn't. They're very similar issues, in fact. You're trying to optimize some allocation of resources through different investments, and some have higher risk but higher return. So that's why you outsource. It may be slightly higher risk with outsourcing, or a lot higher risk, but also it's a lower cost. You get a higher return for those sorts of efforts. So it's a trade-off. And again, that's what more modern portfolio theory is all about, is trading off risk and return for a variety of investments. And the outsourcing example is just one good example of how that could be applied.
That's great. So now, when we talk about research, and, you know, there are different methodologies, you have one, and there are other, you know, established methodologies out there. What is being done in terms of the research conducted, that how these methodologies are working out? And also, when we go and do some primary and secondary research, since IT, measuring of IT value is a chronic topic lately and, of course, always, what have been some of the common areas which have which stand out, where, you know, what are the specific problems that you look at, what are the typical solutions that you use, what works, what doesn't? You know, that's something that we should look at.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. In fact, I would say here is probably the most useful tidbit I can give to people on the show right now, which is most people, if they go out and develop their own portfolio prioritization method, I would say 9 out of 10 people will generate some sort of subjective weighted scoring method. You're familiar with this? People coming up with different sorts of subjective weighted scores? Well, this is actually a pretty thoroughly researched methodology within decision psychology. And it turns out that the subjective weighted scoring methods that most organizations develop for IT prioritization probably don't improve decisions at all. In fact, they often don't even change the decisions, much less improve them. In fact, we find out that the decisions might actually be worse, except for the fact that people routinely override the output anyway. So 70% of the time, approximately, the weighted score agrees with what you would have done anyway. And then 30% of the time, when it doesn't agree, you overwrite it.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. This is a very interesting topic, and I'm pretty sure listeners would be very intently listening to all the numbers. But let's take a few minutes to listen to these messages. We'll come back, so please stay tuned.
Get dialed in, 1-866-233-7861. Up to the minute business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting. Them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now, knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the true measure of IT value, and our guest for today's show is Douglas Hubbard. Doug is the inventor of applied information economics, also known as AIE. His methodology has earned him critical praise from the Gartner Group, Giga Information Group, and the Forrester Research. Before the break, we were discussing about the areas of research, or in fact, a lot of research which has been conducted in the area of measuring IT value. And different methodologies have been tested out and proven and basically have been falling flat on their face, and different organizations have been checked out with that respect. So what are some of the lessons learned, and or what are some of the conclusions that have been drawn from the studies? And Doug, you were, you know, basically sharing your thoughts regarding that, so let's pick up the threads and move.
Yeah, absolutely. What I was noticing is that when IT feels that they have to reinvent the wheel themselves, typically they'll come up with something like a simple weighted scoring method. And as I mentioned before the break, that's probably the one method that's been most widely measured to be pretty ineffectual. The most important thing for IT to remember here is that many of the problems that they're dealing with are already solved in other areas of business and government. We don't have to reinvent how to measure risk. That's a mature industry. We can borrow very heavily from that. And we don't have to reinvent how to optimize a portfolio of investments. Again, these are Nobel Prize-winning methodologies that have been around for a while. And even though modern portfolio theory won a Nobel Prize in 1990, it was developed back in the 50s. So these are things that have been developed for decades and sometimes longer. So we don't even have to reinvent the way for measuring the value of information, because that formula has been around since the 50s in game theory. So we really have a lot of very powerful tools if we can start thinking about IT as a risk-return decision and look outside of IT for the methods.
So, you know, when we talk about IT leaders, they actually go out and try to use different so-called methodologies. Some either a consultant brings in or they come to know about that in a seminar. And, of course, either it could be half-cooked and or maybe it's a methodical approach brought in by a third party. Either way, they see the results are not as they expect, and it's kind of frustrating experience for them. So is the method, I mean, of course, we say that methodologies are pretty mature and they have been tried and tested. So does the IT world suffer from lack of knowledge of how to implement it properly?
No, I think it's lack of knowledge that there's other tools in other areas of the business. I once ran into a director of IT in an insurance company who said, Doug, the problem with IT is it's risky and there's no way to measure risk. And I said, what are you talking about? You work for an insurance company. Of course there's a way to measure risk. Well, this is the sort of, even in insurance companies, IT is usually kind of oblivious to the quantitative methods for measuring the value of risky, uncertain investments. That's really what the problem is with IT. It's a pretty risky investment. There's a lot of uncertainties in it. And until we can actually start to borrow heavily on all of the quantitative methods for evaluating uncertainty, it's probably going to continue to have problems. I would say the best way for evaluating a methodology is to ask first question, what's the track record that it actually improves decisions beyond my intuition? That's what you're always comparing a methodology to. Is it better than your expert intuition already as an executive? Executives have some pretty good rules, and their intuition is usually better than just random. So their expertise, their experience, does add value to the decision-making process. So if you're looking at a methodology, you got to do better than that already. It has to be shown to be an improvement on that. Now, when we look outside of IT, there's really quite a lot of methodologies that are shown to be improvements on intuition. Unfortunately, in IT, we tend to keep reinventing the wheel, and we, more often than not, come up with the methodologies that we already know don't improve on intuition, like the subjective weighted scoring method, etc.
See, on a prior show, I had a discussion. We had a few very experienced folks from IT, and we were talking about IT portfolio management and also about project management and things like that, and my comment was that we are not yet as mature in the way we budget the project, and when we come back from it, it's usually an overage in terms of time or money and our quality suffers. And they kind of big time pushed back on the fact, saying that, no, it is almost a science now in IT for us to be able to budget pretty accurately on when it will be delivered and what is the cost going to be. Now, all that was more on the tactical side, and or you can say, you know, it's on a tangent when compared to when you're trying to measure IT value. Now, those people, as IT leaders, are claiming that, yes, your budgeting and your risk management and your project management is all in place. Then what stops them from being able to, for them to be able to measure IT value as accurately as we would all like to be?
Well, again, remember when we talked about accurate, we mean the economically optimal amount of uncertainty. There's still quite a lot of uncertainty left when we're done measuring, when we're past the point of adding any value with additional measurements. So the accuracy is whatever we're left with when we're done with all the economically justified measurements. That's what we're left with. I would say that, I'm sorry, your initial question?
Basically what I was saying is that, you know, on one end, IT leadership says that they have made a science of the whole IT estimation process, but then when it comes down to actually talking about hard dollars of value delivery,
right,
they are more instance-based versus the bigger picture.
Right. Well, you know, on the first part of that, your comment there, is that even for those who feel that the cost estimating side is down to a science, the fact is that the biggest explanatory factor in the variance of IT project costs from the original estimates are external events that IT doesn't have any control over. So unless you're actually modeling the probability of those events coming in, you're missing a big source of variance in your cost. I think it's a little bit naive to say that we can estimate all of our projects within plus or minus 10% when you know that the things that actually interrupt IT projects are things outside of your control more often than not. It could be a change in CEOs, a change in CIOs, a merger, a spinoff. Your company could go bankrupt, etc. There's all sorts of things that do happen, and they happen with a higher frequency than most people would probably want to admit in business cases. You know, in fact, there is a probability that when you start an IT project, it will never finish and it will, in fact, be canceled. And there's a way to work out the probability on this. If you have a software development project, for example, that's longer than 2 years in duration, the chance of cancellation of that project exceeds the default rate of the worst-rated junk bonds. Yet, you almost never see chance of cancellation on a business case. In fact, that's a real factor that you have to take into account on long-duration projects is the fact that it won't finish at all. So I think it's underestimating risk and uncertainty to say that there's a high degree of accuracy on estimating project cost when you have uncertainties even about whether or not you can finish. Often these are things that are outside of IT's control. On the benefit side, again, I think the answer is doing probabilistic modeling. You know, acknowledging your uncertainty and saying, here's how much my uncertainty is, going out and making measurements, only those that are economically justified, reducing the uncertainty a little bit, then ultimately having to make the risk-return decision. Is this a good investment or not on a risk-return basis? Risk is actually a bigger source of variance on the value of IT than the return is. We're leaving out half the equation or more when we don't talk about risk like an actuary does.
So at one end, you know, while we answered a question about it's not about actually getting an accurate measure all the time, it's reducing the degree of uncertainty in any of the measures that you would, any of the measurements that you would like to get on IT value.
Yeah, the economically justifiable amount of uncertainty reduction. That's what you're going for.
Okay, that's a very scientifically and very condensed form of, you know, thought that you brought out, and which is very valuable to the IT leaders. Now, when we come back to the fact that everything is while a science, but then they are also are supposed to be artists now, that is, they have to do more with less. And in fact, there is a new paradigm which CEOs and CFOs are trying to push, is that every year I will reduce your budget growth in terms of percentages, but I want you to increase the value that your increase in budget creates, incremental value. So we are saying more with less. And then when you do that, I'm pretty sure a sane IT leader would not try to cut corners to achieve that. They would try to come up with some creative means. Now, when they do that, those creative means are beyond comprehension till the time those are adopted, given the situation. And then again, when we start talking about measuring an IT value on a given project or initiative and looking at the bigger picture of overall IT portfolio, you know, this art, if you will, can disrupt the very, you know, stability of a framework that has been utilized to measure IT value. So how do you deal with that? Because there's a mandate from the management. At the same time, they also want to get a reduced degree of uncertainty, as you said. How do you do that at the same time? It's like, you know, eating the cake and having it too.
Yeah, I would suppose the bigger obstacle to that level of creativity is the traditional accounting version of doing your business cases, where you have to come up with a lot of exact numbers, and you don't really quantify your uncertainty about each of those numbers. You just state the number. And that kind of forces a framework. I don't know if that necessarily is directly related to creativity or not, but I would say that that would probably stifle risk-taking a little bit more. If you can quantify your risk then and include that in your portfolio optimization, you can make a logical trade-off on risk. You don't always have to avoid it. There's times when you can accept it and still be rational about it by trading off risk in one place versus another in your portfolio. But you can't do that until you start measuring it. It's interesting. I think most of the ideas for new discretionary IT investments come from the RIG. That's the random idea generator in most organizations. People go to conferences or read an article and they get an idea and they bat it around, and pretty soon somebody gives it a name and it turns into an acronym, and then it gets a sponsor and now it's got some momentum. And each one of those times, I think it's a pretty fascinating life course that a lot of these ideas take if you take them all the way back to their earliest insemination. What happened to that idea? How did it get started? Well, chances are it's probably not the result of some really creative sitting back and thinking about the big problem kind of a process. It's, that discretionary investment idea is probably itself a reaction to immediate opportunities and needs, versus a big planning sort of an issue. But fortunately, there are even quantitative methods that can back up the planning. We can sit back and do anticipatory development of business cases to really look out over the horizon on the new things around the corner.
That's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And going beyond the fact that we have some certain things which are not known, and they're uncertain, and we are trying to reduce the level of uncertainty, in terms of measuring IT value, we have a tendency usually to measure the direct costs, the direct benefits, the direct risks. Then coming to the fact that it is, life is not as simple when it turns out to be when we talk about IT, because there could be always a lot of indirect factors, and those indirect factors are not as easily measurable because we don't control them. So how do we account for them when we are actually trying to quantify the actual net value delivered from IT? So let's discuss about this. Let's explore this a little bit more when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services.
Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is the true measure of IT value, and our guest for today's show is Douglas Hubbard. Doug is the inventor of applied information economics, which is also known as AIE. His methodology has earned him critical praise from the Gartner Group, Giga Information Group, and Forrester Research. Before the break, we touched the part where while we are trying to always reduce the uncertainties for any of the measurements that we want to have for IT value, at the same time, when we actually start measuring the real, nuts and bolts of IT, we usually try to use the direct cost, the direct measures, the direct risk. And we should definitely quantify or try to at least quantify the indirect, the ripple effects that could be there and what other peripheral entities which could be potentially impacting the cost and the risk and everything related to IT. Now, the challenge here would be that, first of all, is the methodology or whatever different frameworks that exist out there allow you to account for that? And if they do, then how do they actually help you measure in reality when you are not in control or you are not even given the due insight so as to what those risks and costs and benefits are?
Sure. The direct versus indirect question sort of reminds me a little bit of the hard versus soft kind of distinction. And a lot of people spend a lot of time making that fine distinction, what's hard, what's soft, what's direct, and what's indirect, sorts of costs and benefits. Having to make that distinction, the need for it, kind of goes away when you do probabilistic analysis in the first place. You quit having to say this variable is an indirect benefit and that one's a direct benefit. You just say, what's the benefit and what's my uncertainty about it? Likewise, in hard and soft benefits, you don't say that one's soft and that one's hard. You just put your range on it. Some ranges will be wider than others, and some will be very narrow. If that's the distinction between hard and soft, that's fine, but we don't really need to specify that distinction anymore because the important thing is the range. How much do we not know about it? And there's a lot of things, for example, if we make some investments in IT, say in the public sector, a lot of things will have to do with the behaviors of the public. Now, you don't have controls over that, but those uncertainties do affect your uncertainty about the value of the IT project. Maybe within the commercial side, you're implementing a system that's going to reduce your cost of sales. Well, that's a good idea, but you have uncertainty about your future sales. No one's going to say, I know exactly what our sales is going to be in the future. And if you don't know that in the future, that adds uncertainty to the value of this IT project. And that's just realistic. A lot of people might say that maybe a reduction in cost of sales is a hard savings, and so they'll put an exact dollar amount on it. But the fact is they don't know what their sales is going to be 3, 4, 5 years from now. So those, even those are uncertain. If we can quantify our uncertainty about each of these things, we end up not having to make this distinction between direct, indirect, hard, soft, or factors we can control or not. They're just included in our model.
Doesn't your statement, in a way, is using a big assumption that people who are actually making decisions or trying to at least make an effort to quantify, they have the ability to be able to quantify the uncertainty?
Yeah, well, actually what we find out is that people can be trained to quantify uncertainty. Some of your listeners might be familiar with Gartner Group and, in the past, Giga Group. Giga was bought by Forrester, but they used to put probabilities on the ends of statements. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sanjay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they would say Microsoft is going to release such and such by the end of 2005, and they'll say 0.8p, and that represents their confidence that this event will actually occur. Actually, I think it's a pretty ingenious journalistic tool. I would like to see it in my daily newspaper as well. But when you go back and look, are they right as often as they think? And I actually trained 16 giga analysts how to do that. And when we tracked 20 IT predictions for these 16 analysts over time, we found out that after the training, whenever they said they were 80% confident, they're right 80% of the time. And when they said they were 90% confident, they're right 90% of those times. So we know that people can be trained to assess uncertainty. And then later on, when you decide that uncertainty is worth spending money on to reduce in some particular area, there's all sorts of powerful tools to reduce our uncertainty there. That's when we get into empirical methods. It could be controlled experiments, random sampling methods, etc. But we only do it in those areas that are applied where it's necessary. In that article, the IT measurement inversion that I wrote a few years ago for CIO Magazine, I noted that if you compute the value of measurements, you end up measuring completely different things than you otherwise would have. That people spend most of their time historically measuring things that they're already more certain about and less time measuring things that they actually have more uncertainty in. But we also find out that if you measure based on information value, you measure fewer things. I'll often put together a business case with 50 to 100 variables in it, and after calibrating people and computing our initial state of uncertainty, we'll find out that we only need to measure 2 or 3 of those 50 to 100 variables. That's a typical finding. So when you actually make your measurements based on information values, you end up measuring fewer things. And also, so that's another impact of how really anybody can adopt this. We sort of swim upstream from the assumption that more quantitative methods are necessarily more time-consuming or difficult. And I think we find just the opposite. People spend quite a lot of time on some theoretically unsound methods that don't improve their decisions. And the best methods are sometimes easier. So I do think that people can be trained to assess their uncertainty quantitatively, and we can track how good they are at it. All you got to do is keep track of your predictions and see if you're right as often as you thought.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Doug, for sharing your insights and expertise about how an organization can truly measure value of IT in spite of all the uncertainty that's out there. And of course, you know, we are trying to bring uncertainty into the part of the equation. And also, there are so many obvious and not so obvious obstacles in doing so.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your time, Sanjay.
Thank you again. We all realize that measuring IT value is not as simple as using a mathematical formula, and it requires a painstaking analysis of the parameters involved, and the results may be vastly different case by case. So every organization, though, must have a well-defined framework which at least allows them to structure the activities, the costs, the benefits related to an IT investment, and also for an ongoing investment, or ongoing maintenance, actually. So this enables automatic data collection over a period of time, which is then available for analysis. And also the framework should allow room for situations where IT leaders have to get creative to cut costs and reallocate costs to another initiative, or even dispose or retire an IT asset or an application. So there is, of course, no silver bullet, but a structured approach to data collection, appropriate knowledge and experience of IT leaders in using the related frameworks, and just, you know, sticking to the gun approach will deliver the desired accuracy in measuring IT value. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on